Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Today, we are going to talk about mortgage foreclosures in our communities and around the country. Last week, there was a action taken by a group in our community called ACORN that did what they called a homesteading act. And they opened up a home that had been foreclosed upon and the family evicted to move the person back in, which we covered here at WEAA and at the Center for Emerging Media, the Mark Steiner Show. Melody Simmons reporting for us all there. She's one of our guests today. And that precipitated, of course, a series of conversations around this city. A bill was introduced today by Mary Pat Clark and Bill Henry. We'll hear a clip about that, that would delay evictions because of foreclosures by 365 days, which is a year, which, of course, the banks and many others think is an outrageous thing to do. And people who are saying that the banks caused this crisis in America, that created these foreclosures and created the crisis, need to be reined in. And this is one of the ways that that should be done. And others are saying it's people's personal responsibility and has nothing to do with what the banks did, and that people should know how to take care of their own finances. Whatever it is, we are in a crisis in America when it comes to foreclosures. Maryland and Virginia rank 16th and 15th, respectively, among states where area sales picked up, but they also rank high in the number of foreclosures that are happening around the country, and especially are affected are working-class African-American communities in Prince George's County and in Baltimore, Maryland. So we're joined this hour in studio by Melody Simmons, who's reported here for WEAA and for the Mark Steiner Show at Center for Emerging Media, and had reported on this situation last week and today. Joe Cox is in the studio, who's program director for Maryland ACORN and is a community organizer with ACORN. Eric Gates joins us by phone. He's president-elect and legislative chairman of the Maryland Association of Mortgage Brokers, MAMB, which is his acronym. And Melody Simmons, Joe Cox, and Eric Gates. Welcome. Good to have all three of you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Eric. And join us here at 410-319-8888. Your thoughts on the mortgage crisis and what should be done. 410-319-8888. President Obama introduced a bill, and in the bill he introduced will change a number of things. His mortgage proposal that is receiving a lot of criticism, especially from the conservative end of the AM dial across the nation and across the state here, and from others as well who are more reasonable thinkers who think it's a wrong way to go for America. But it would enable 4 to 5 million responsible homeowners to refinance their mortgages, as they put it, responsible homeowners, would change the fixed rates people get. If the worth of a house goes down because of this crisis, then people can then go and change the nature of their mortgage payments and what they owe on that house. It has many other things we'll talk about. No aid for speculators. We'll talk a bit about that because there's a lot of speculation right now that speculators are making are on the verge of making a great deal of money on buying houses for cash and flipping them. That could be part of what happens as a result of this mortgage crisis. As I said, this is a bill today in front of being introduced tonight in the city council. As background, let me let you hear a bit of what happened last Thursday to give you a sense of what happened last Thursday when Gail Cawthorn, who is a woman whose house was almost foreclosed upon, but she was there and she was in the home and she was kind of crying as we were in the house covering this event. Melly Simmons and I were there. And we walked over to ask what was going on. This is a little bit of what Gail Cawthorn had to say to us in the house that was seized and taken by ACORN.
Talk about the stress that was there before.
Oh, God, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Christmas, you know, there was no Christmas. I tried to put a good face on it for my kids. So, you know, they wouldn't get so down. But the stress is awful, just awful. My asthma flared up because, hey, I couldn't eat or couldn't sleep. So it's the stress of not knowing what's going on. And then when you call the people, like the lawyers they have, you call them, you can never get a human. I don't care how long you stay on the phone, you can't get a human. You say, well, here's my number, my loan number, call me back. They don't call you back. Then when they do send you something in the mail, it's late when you get it. So the cost goes up and up and up. It's always fees. It's like clockwork.
And that took place at the Acorn Homesteading Action at Donna Hanks' former home next to Patterson Park last Thursday. Since that time, the banks have shown, and Channel 2 has shown, and I think our reporter Melody Simmons has found out, that the banks no longer own that house. It was bought by somebody else. The Acorn representative who opened the locks, turned himself in, was arrested, charged with trespassing. But it was a symbolic action, actually, took place across the country. New York Times and Huffington Post covered that here. Before we get to our guests and our listeners who are calling in, let me let you give a sense of what happened today at City Hall. This clip here is Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark, who introduced this new legislation, explaining it. This is Mary Pat Clark, recorded earlier this morning at City Hall.
This bill is needed now because there's hope. There's money in the pipeline, we hope, from the federal government, at least to the lenders, to encourage them and cushion them to negotiate modified mortgages, mortgages that more accurately reflect the true value of a home and the capacity of buyers and owners. We need to buy some time for the people of our city to give them a chance to benefit from these Obama incentives.
Buy some time, our former president of city council says, Mayor Pat Clark, who's now a city councilwoman. Bill Henry co-sponsored the bill with her. A city councilman here in Baltimore represents neighborhoods in northeast Baltimore. This is what he had to say early this morning at City Hall.
One, there's the toll on the people who lose their homes, and now they have to move to somewhere else. Depending on their personal safety net, they may be able to move somewhere nearby, but if they can't move somewhere nearby, then we're talking about kids being uprooted from schools and from friends in a neighborhood. But then the human toll on the other side is the neighborhood that is now losing that family. That family may have been an integral part of the social structure of the neighborhood. Even if those individuals weren't, that house is now a vacant potential for blight. I've been calling them their starter homes for blight in a neighborhood, because even in the best of times, banks were not the best property managers for their foreclosed upon properties.
And that was Councilman Bill Henry. And let me, before we turn to our guests and open the phones here, Joanne, Jane, and Jennifer have all called in. We want to get to their phone calls. Robert Strupp, who is with the Community Law Center, who will be with us tomorrow night as we have another show on housing, on city housing policy, had this to say about the bill and how it will affect mortgage providers.
The servicers haven't been acting logically with regards to doing loan mods. And for example, we've seen them turning down loan modifications at 50 or 60 cents on the dollar. The borrower can pay that, and they end up foreclosing, and they end up sitting on the house for months and months, and then they sell it at 30 cents on the dollar. So having this year also, not only does it provide an opportunity for sustainable, logical loan mods, it also, in a way, will shame those servicers who have been choosing not to do that, because they can no longer say, well, they didn't really have time and they had to rush through the foreclosure process. Now they really don't have that opportunity to say that in Baltimore, and I think that's very exciting.
Robert Strupp commenting on the bill this morning. Joining us in studio, Melody Simmons, reporter here at WEAA, Joe Cox, program director for Maryland Acorn, and a community organizer there, Eric Gates, president-elect and legislative chairman of the Maryland Association of Mortgage Brokers. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Joanne, Jane, and Jennifer, I want you to hold on. We're going to come to your calls, but I'd like to first turn to Eric Gates to have his thoughts on everything he's heard so far and on the whole effort here, both statewide, locally, and nationally, to change the nature of how mortgages are dealt with when foreclosures are upon them.
Well, I think the last gentleman from the Community Law Center had some good points in that the services have learned a little bit of a lesson, I think, over the last several months, in that they've now coming to realize more that the loan modifications make more sense for everybody. They tend to lose more money by not modifying the loans than they do by trying to force people out of their homes and end up selling them for even less than doesn't make sense for anybody. And in addition, you know, what we're seeing regarding the communities is not, you know, we heard other people outlining some of the negative impacts to the community and the families involved, and it's also deteriorating people's you know, family nest egg, as every foreclosed home sells for less and less, it's dragging property values down in the different neighborhoods, and that's, you know, further harming and injuring the people that are still there.
So I'm wondering, Eric, and listen to how you just described your reaction to this, and given that it looks as if, let's say, with Citibank, that 40% or more of the stock and the seats on the board may end up being in control of the federal government. Are we hearing through your words maybe a different sense growing in a part of the banking community about how to respond to all of this?
Well, I think every bank has responded differently, and the banks in general were not in a position to handle the crisis from a staffing standpoint. So as the crisis began to mount, they were considerably understaffed, and they just weren't even able to handle the influx of business. And so they are now, I think, trying to figure out the ways to best handle it moving forward and trying to learn from the lessons that they've had so far. The government's involvement directly in the bank, it's hard to know exactly how that will alter how the bank deals with this moving forward. I mean, I see the initiatives of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and halting foreclosures in trying to incentivize the lenders to do loan modifications, providing financial incentive to the servicers to provide modifications to the homeowners rather than go through the foreclosure route. So it does seem that they are picking up the pace of finding alternative ways to try to help the homeowners when they can.
What is your sense? Let me turn to Joe Cox and Melody. I'm open the phones up here. Of how we fix this dilemma that we find ourselves in.
I completely agree with everything that Mr. Gates said. Absolutely. The banks were completely unready and unwilling to deal with this crisis as it was rolled out over the current crisis over the last couple of years, the same way that they were unwilling to deal with the flipping crisis that occurred 5 years ago. That's why this legislation is so important today, is because finally, here in Baltimore City anyway, there's something that's really going to force lenders to the table to say you can't keep pushing this problem down the road. You can't just keep putting people in default and expecting that eventually they'll get some kind of huge nest egg they come across. That's not going to happen. You have to deal with these now. So that we don't decimate communities. And I think that now we're seeing that.
So, Eric, before we turn to Melody Simmons and open the phones here, what would be the effect and response of the banking community, the mortgage lending community, with a bill that would extend the period of time between foreclosure and eviction to 365 days when it's now currently 14 days?
Well, I think the banking community's recognized that there needs to be some changes. Are we speaking specifically to the Maryland law?
The law that's being introduced today by Councilwoman Clark and Councilman Bill Henry.
Okay. I think the banks in general have realized that the Maryland foreclosure law has had some holes in it for a while, and I think some of that was tried to address and be addressed in state legislation that came through last year and some of the mortgage reforms. I don't know how they could argue that 14 days is a sufficient time to assess a situation. And they're going to have to, like we're continuing to say, I mean, they're learning that they need to work with people as best they can, as it is in everybody's best interest. I don't know how they'll react specifically to the 360 days and whether that's going to be deemed proper or not. It's hard to say at this point. It's an early assessment.
Melody?
Well, I'm listening to everything that's been said, and I realize, as being a reporter out there in the field, that the numbers are staggering. There's so many families. The toll is high. The personal testimonies that we've heard over the past month or so has forced this action. And this is a city council bill. It's an emergency legislation. And what we're seeing is that it needs to be taken care of fast, because when the council people go out into their districts, what they're seeing are families that are in total distress and crisis. And this is the one thing that they can do at their level to basically stop the bleeding at this point. They can't stop foreclosures, but they can stave off the eviction from a foreclosure.
And I guess the idea here, though, is how do you refinance? How do people save the homes they're in? And also what happens, well, let's keep it there for a minute. I mean, how do people refinance these homes they're in so they can afford to stay where they are is the question that everybody's trying to answer in America right now, well, and in Baltimore.
Yeah, and so many of the members that we see and the people that we refer to free loan counseling with our sister organization, Acorn Housing, so many of those folks are just, frankly, not a refinance candidate. They are very, very behind on their mortgage and often very upside down in terms of how much they owe versus how much their property is now devalued to. So it really becomes about the lender agreeing to what we're asking for, a permanent loan modification, which is what our counselors are trained to do, is assess a person's situation and then make a proposal to the bank that says, look, we know that it's unrealistic and just a fantasy for us to suggest that this person can afford to spend more than a third of their income on housing. So in order to make this mortgage work, you're going to need to write down this interest rate to this level or extend out the loan to this amount of time or even in some cases write down the principal. And that is really what's important here is that what President Obama is talking about now versus modifications in the past, we're talking about permanent modifications that are fixed rate loans now, as opposed to just a temporary payment plan that expires after 6 months or even a plans. A lot of banks say it's a modification when they tell you, oh, you were paying $1,200, you couldn't do that. Now you need to pay $1,400 to make up the arrears, and they're calling that a modification.
Before we open the phone to Eric, do you have a comment on that?
Well, I think you know, the part that is being discussed, too, that's extremely relevant that he just explained is that the new initiatives through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac for the new Streamline program that they're hoping to roll out isn't going to help the people that are behind on their mortgage. And I think that's part of the outcry as to some of the shortcomings of the administration's plans. There have been programs introduced in the past year or so through HUD, some of the FHA programs, to try to help some of those people. But it does involve exactly what was just explained, where the entire structure needs to be modified and changed. People are upside down. They can't afford the payments. That everything that was just explained needs to happen. And unfortunately, because of that and all the steps that are involved, the programs have shown very little activity and haven't helped as many people as they would hope that it could have.
That's interesting. I am, you know, we don't look for fireworks on the show. We look for good discussion. I am shocked about some of the positions you're taking, Eric Gates. I was thinking the banking community was going to be more wholly resistant to this, but this is, let's explore this a little bit. But let me open the phones here at 410-319-8888. There are four J's out there, Joanne, Jane, Jennifer, and John, all waiting to get in here, but very quickly, Melody.
Well, I'm just, this is part of the philosophical debate that's going on right now. And it's political, it's philosophical, it's humanitarian. So we have a kind of a melting pot going on in this country right now over this issue. So what we're hearing today is a microcosm of what we see out there on the streets as well.
410-319-8888. What America should do about foreclosures that we are facing here, what we're doing in the state of Maryland. There's been a measure put in for the city council right now that would extend the time between foreclosure and eviction to 365 days a year instead of the 2 weeks it is now. We're joined by Eric Gates, who's president-elect and legislative chairman of the Maryland Association of Mortgage Brokers, Melody Simmons, reporter for WEAA, Joe Cox, program director for Maryland Acorn, 410-319-8888. Joanne, in Woodstock, you're on the air.
I just have a comment and then I have a question. My comment is that I think to a large extent that the banking industry is really responsible for this rise in foreclosure rates. They implemented a lot of quote-unquote creative financing to get people into homes where I think they really didn't have the ability to afford them with the interest-only loans, LIBOR loans, et cetera. And then secondly, I have a question regarding how do you help someone who is not behind and hasn't missed any mortgage payments yet, but is becoming an increasing strain on them to make the mortgage that they're trying to pay?
Those are truly good questions. And Eric, let you take a stab at that first, especially the first question about how some of this crisis we're facing now has to do with people who were given loans that probably should not have gotten them in the first place.
Well, I think there's a long history in how that came about, but I don't think that anybody could disagree at this point that lending guidelines were pushed lax, made more lax and more lax to allow more people to qualify. The initial goal, you could argue, came from the government trying to create more homeowners. I heard Alfonso Jackson, the former Secretary of HUD, speak just a few years ago, and he said flat out, you know, the goal was we need a higher percentage of homeownership in the country. They believe that was the fabric of the community. And the only way to do that, unfortunately, was figure out ways to qualify more people for homes, and I think we can connect the dots from there and see where it got us to a certain degree, and so I don't disagree with her statement.
There's some of it also had to do with the bundling of mortgages and derivatives being sold around the world and not being able to be financed, that everything, the entire bottom fell through from the international market of selling mortgages.
Yes, I think Wall Street created the securitization process for these types of mortgages. It became very profitable for them. They had a big thirst for it and continued to push and push to try to get more of them. And that's, you know, they were the ones that created the product and put it out there and continue to extend the guidelines and making them more lax. And it obviously got to the point where if you could fog a mirror, you could get a mortgage, and that's not sustainable. It was all built on the assumption that home values would continue to go up forever, and obviously that wasn't sustainable either. The second part of it, I think, is what the president's package is trying to address, and those are the people that they are trying to help right now, and I think that's a worthwhile note here, that they are trying to be a little more proactive rather than just reactive and say, you know what, there's going to be a lot more of this coming down the pike, and who should we be trying to address and help them before it becomes too big of a problem for them? And the new Fannie Mae Streamline program is meant to try to help people in those situations where the qualification requirements, from what I've read and I understand, are going to be mostly driven by, have you paid your mortgage on time for the last 12 months? And if so, we're going to try to rework it for you and allow you to refinance. There are probably millions of people across the country who would like to refinance today with rates as low as they are and have been unable to because they no longer qualify for a variety of reasons. It could be their home values have dropped and they don't meet the current equity requirements. Could be lower income in the family from a lost job or anything like that, and this program is going to try to help those people.
Well, one of the things that the shared effort to reduce monthly payments is part of this program, it's what it's called in the plan. Let's say if your payments were adding up to 43% of your monthly income, that the new law would say it could not be any larger than 38% of your monthly income. Let's say dropping a mortgage rate down by $400 to somebody who had a $20,000 mortgage. So these things are happening. The question is, though, what happens to all those people who might have missed a payment or two or were late on payments because of jobs, medical care? I mean, over 50% of all mortgage defaults have to do with health care,
right,
which is an interesting piece of this that is not addressed in this legislation. What are your thoughts at 410-319-8888? And thank Joanne for your call so much and holding on for so long. Jane in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. My question might be relative or not. I'm not certain. But I've heard some things about this reverse mortgaging. And I just wanted to know if your panel could comment on something like that, or maybe this could be a topic for a future show. Because that targets the elderly, and, you know, they maybe be able to get X amount of dollars and go on lavish trips and all that stuff. And if they expire or something like that, and somebody, whoever is the heir to that property or what have you, will they have the money to be able to pay that back? I mean, some kind of way that person might lose their home or just be in a big bind. And I don't know if anybody will comment on that right now, or like I said, maybe it could be something for a future topic.
Interesting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane, so much for being part of the show. And Joe, look like you wanted to...
Sure. I mean, the most important, both for this caller and the previous caller, when you're asking advice on what should I or my friend or my family member do about their mortgage, you need to call a free HUD-certified nonprofit loan counseling agency like Acorn Housing. You can go on the website at acornhousing.org or go on HUD's website to find a list of HUD-certified agencies in your area. Those are where that's where you're going to get your unbiased advice from, and you're going to get it free. You're not going to have to pay anything for it. And it's so much more important that you go there and you don't go to one of these for-profit foreclosure prevention consultation services that are going to do the same thing, only charge you thousands of dollars for it, or, you know, frankly, to a lender who, you know, at the end of the day is still trying to make money. On reverse mortgages specifically, I know that Acorn Housing has made the decision that they are not going to offer those because they feel that as a group, taken as a whole, they're going to strip too much equity from our members and be a bad deal for them. I believe there are other HUD-certified agencies that are the other way on this question. So you just need to get the best advice you can. But the caller's absolutely right. You could end up in a situation where, unfortunately, you have stripped too much of your equity and now you have to pay. And your house is no longer going to be a paycheck for you in this economy.
So I wonder what happens then. And I want to explore in a minute here is what's going to happen in America with the if the bill from the Obama administration covers 45 million people in this country who have made their payments on time but are suffering from whatever reasons not being able to keep up with payments but have kept them up so far. What about the 4 to 5 million other people in America who might have been late on a payment, who missed a payment, who fell back for any number of reasons and are not covered under this plan? I mean, it seems to me we're just kind of skipping along the surface here. When we talk about the bill, very specifically talks about responsible homeowners. But if a person's late on their payment, they may be a responsible homeowner and got backed up on payments because people get stuck in America with no money. Eric?
Well, I think the best advice I can say in that case is communicate with your lender. People who are, if they've had trouble making a payment in the past or might have trouble in the future, communicate with your lender and see what they might be able to do to work with you. There's certainly no promises or guarantees there, but I think that you'll find in today's day and age they're going to be more interested in talking with you than they might have been in the past, and it will be best for all parties involved to know what's going on and see what they can do to work something out with you. There are loan modifications being done directly through the lenders. I concur with the prior comment that you need to make sure you don't utilize one of these for-profit organizations that's going to charge you something up front. And you should know that Maryland law, as of last year, prohibits anybody from taking any sort of upfront fee from anyone who's delinquent on their mortgage to try to assist them with that. So consumers should be aware of that, should not be paying anybody upfront fees for the service whatsoever. I know the Commissioner of Financial Regulation is very interested in trying to make sure that they go after anybody who's doing that right now. So again, communication is a key. Seeing what your lender will do to work with you is the best advice I can think of at the moment. As for what programs are going to come out in the future or are out there that are helpful, it's really so specific to each situation, it's hard to paint a broad stroke with it.
We're going to take a very short break and come right back. So Jennifer in Baltimore, John in Timonium, and George in Baltimore, hold on. We're going to come right to your calls as soon as you return to talk about mortgages and what to do about the mortgage crisis facing the United States and Maryland and Baltimore. We're joined by Melody Simmons, Joe Cox, and Eric Gates. Number here is 410-319-8888. And the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression, and over 70 years later, they're still there to help people during difficult times. For more information, you go to mecu.com. And stay with us as we continue to discuss mortgages in America and refinance. I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back as we're joined by Melody Simmons, reporter here at WEAA, who's been covering the mortgage foreclosure issue. Joe Cox, program director for Maryland Acorn and community organizer with that organization. Eric Gates, president-elect and legislative chairman of the Maryland Association of Mortgage Brokers. The number here is 410-319-8888. Write to us here at Steiner Show, S-T-E-I-N-E-R, show, at gmail.com with your thoughts and questions. So when we look at this bill that is going for the city council now, that extends the foreclosure time before you can have an eviction of 365 days, which is a year, which could A, mean that if it passes, that someone could stay in a home if they're in a battle with their bank for a year without paying a dime, or it could mean the banks would have to open up and begin to negotiate and a new agreement to keep that person in their home, is a little different than Obama's package, even though that money's coming to Maryland, which is one of the reasons Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark says we should wait to get that money to start, so we can start affecting how we arrange mortgages in Maryland for people who are having a hard time. But basically we're talking about here, these are the people that are under the radar screen you're talking about, Joe Cox, who may be late on payments, who are losing their homes, whose backs are up against the wall. We heard a story today from Melody Simmons about a woman who is raising her
grandchild
because her daughter's in prison, tried to keep up with the payments, couldn't keep up with the payments, and her house today was sold at auction.
Yes, it was.
And so mother and grandmother and grandchildren are out in the cold.
Well, they didn't live there, but she was watching the house for her daughter who's incarcerated. So she was very helpless. She was down at City Hall today just looking for any kind of help, but really it's too late.
So what happens in these situations? I mean, these are the things that are not usually covered by laws.
Sure. And this is, as you said, I mean, this is why this action today at City Hall by Councilwoman Clark, by Councilman Henry and the council people that have signed on to it is so important, is because this plan, like the plan that's in place in Philadelphia, like the actions that the sheriff has taken in Detroit, Michigan, this is what is going to really bring the lenders to the table.
The sheriffs in Detroit and Chicago have both said they're not going to enforce any eviction orders.
Well, I believe Chicago, he's just talking about tenants in foreclosed properties.
Tenants, right.
But yeah, I mean, that is why Acorn is on its national campaign of homesteading. That's why we did the Action Thursday. That's why we're so excited about this new legislation introduced today, is because finally there is hope for people who are behind on their mortgage or are upside down on their mortgage or have lost a job. These are not necessarily the most politically popular people to help. These are the people that are suffering and have been suffering for months, the terrible effect of this crisis. And these are the actions, whether it's like we did here in Baltimore, where they're calling for a year in order. And they're calling for the year not because they want people living in their house for a year and then get evicted. They're calling for years to send a message to the banks. Look, you have to modify this mortgage, if at all possible, prior to foreclosure, because you don't want to have this person in there for a year and not collect any money. And it's the same thing in Philadelphia, where the sheriff said, I'm not doing any more foreclosure evictions. And the circuit court required arbitration for people, where they had to sit. The banks were required to sit down with their clients, and the private investors were required to sit down with their borrowers and try to come up with a payment plan for months before the judges would allow foreclosures to go forward. Those are the types of measures that are going to help the people who are really underwater on this crisis. Of course, what President Obama is talking about is going to be, broadly speaking, very helpful, and there are a number of people that are going to benefit from it. But the people who are really suffering, they need actions like Baltimore City Council's today.
Eric, what do you think about that, Eric Gates?
I got to be honest, I can't say that I know enough about the bill that was put in place today, and I think it's probably a question that some of the banking community more specifically could address. I'm sure they'll have concerns with it, but I'm probably not the best equipped to say what their concerns with it will be. I hear exactly what Mr. Cox is saying, and I think that a big thing that a lot of people don't understand is who ends up owning these mortgages and what's caused some of the servicers to have problems with trying to modify some of them. And he outlined that specifically, which is some of the private investors, and trying to force them to now come into play and agree to some of this modification, some of the behind-the-scenes owners of the mortgages, not just the people or the banks collecting the payments on it.
410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. And Jennifer in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I am calling. First, I want to applaud Acorn for their efforts recently. I've been reading a lot about their protests down at Calvert Street for circuit court, and I recently just read about the actions from last week. And I just want to applaud them. I really feel like they're the only people getting out there on the street trying to help people. My first question is actually for the man who suggested to communicate with your lender as a means to modify your loan. I want to ask him if he's ever tried to communicate with a lender. I'm not sure if he realizes it's an atrocity. It's impossible to contact these people. It's impossible to get a loan modified on your own. I just think it's a travesty. I mean, we know what's going on with people. We know people are losing their homes left and right. And I just want to know, with the new stimulus bill, why is it still a voluntary stimulus bill? And what can we do in Maryland to try to get these banks regulated?
Hey, let's work that question backwards. Why don't you start this off, Joe Cox?
Thank you very, very much for the call. We're doing everything we can. What we really think about this, and I completely agree. I don't want to say that calling your lender is a complete waste of time, but I will say that it's maybe a 75% waste of time. What we've found, actually, people are very unsuccessful with their lender, and we hear stories when people come to us for the intake and referral to Acorn Housing all the time is that they can't get their lender on the phone. The lender's only interested in calling them bad people and yelling at them. And then down the road, what we find often is they can't get any communications from the lender, can't get any modifications or anything. And then Acorn Housing will submit a modification proposal to the lender. And literally a few days later, here will come a modification proposal. Please fill out this paperwork so that we can try to modify your loan. And what that's aimed at doing very, very clearly is saying we don't want to do a permanent modification to your loan that's going to make it permanently affordable. We want to get you into some sort of a temporary stopgap measure that will expire in 6 months or a year or whatever, so that we are not forced to write down the value of your loan. It's straight up people over profits, very, very clearly. And to the second part of the question, we do desperately need even more regulation. Governor O'Malley put in a great bill, I guess a couple sessions ago, that changed some of the regulations, but it didn't go nearly far enough, particularly at outlawing loans that do not help people. It only helps banks. It's only going to make more money for them. We've gone up to the State House every year for the last decade working on trying to get ARMs outlawed and prepayment penalties outlawed and all of these exotic no-doc loans outlawed. And we were fought tooth and nail by Mr. Gates's organization. And in fact, in 03, they worked with now federally convicted Thomas Bromwell to preempt Baltimore City's predatory lending legislation. So we desperately need these loan products now to be outlawed so that once we're past this current crisis, we don't have a repeat again in another 20 or 30 years once property values have rebounded.
Eric Gates?
Well, first, I guess I would like to say there are a lot of organizations out there that represent different various sectors of the mortgage community, and that we did not fight him on anything in 2003. In regards to the bill that was passed last year, put in by the governor, we all worked for a long time on that. And the net result is there is actually a law in Maryland now that does ban a lot of the no documentation or all of the no documentation loans. There are useful ways to adjustable rate programs, prepayment penalty programs, and the like have a good use for a lot of people in the right scenario. And it depends on the right scenario and the right person and the right time. And one of the keys there is knowing that the originator you're working with is someone who is educated and can be trusted and has been referred to you by someone who's used them, or go ahead on to the National Association of Mortgage Brokers or the Maryland Association of Mortgage Brokers websites and make sure you're working with someone who's affiliated with an organization that requires people to sign on to ethical process and handling people and providing good advice. Certainly those types of products have been abused, but there are plenty of people who opt to take a loan with a prepayment because it gets them a lower interest rate. There are people that opt to take an adjustable rate mortgage because they're only going to be in their home 3 to 5 years and they can pay less during that time. So to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because they certainly have been abused by some, is something that we did disagree with. I will tell you that the Maryland law as it stands right now that prevents somebody from getting a mortgage without qualifying based on their income is actually going to cause people not to be able to utilize this Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac streamline program, and unless there is a modification to it. People who the lenders in Maryland will be required to verify people's income and make sure that they qualify to offer this new streamline program, and it's going to keep some of the people who it's aiming to help from being able to utilize the program. So we do hope to see a modification solely for the streamline program.
Now, we're talking about people who already have their mortgages?
Correct. Mm-hmm. People who want to refinance using this new streamline program that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to roll out. In Maryland, the state law will require that they qualify for those based on income qualification, where the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac program won't. It'll simply only be able to benefit people who can reduce their payment or go from an adjustable rate loan to a fixed rate loan. And without a small modification to allow for that to happen under existing Maryland law, that won't be allowed.
So I mean, Joe Cox, this is where the rubber meets the road in terms of, and Melody, I'm sorry, I mean to leave you out of this.
I'm listening with great intent. There's some good stories to be had here.
This is where the rubber meets the road in terms of how, on the national and local level, but especially the national level, policy has to be in place to address the question of people, of foreclosures and people losing their homes, and what has happened to the mortgage industry and banking, and the firewall that has... because of Glass-Steagall was thrown out, it no longer exists between investment banks and banks that loan. I mean, and investment banks now own the banks rather than the banks actually loaning money to investment banks. It's all been torn asunder. So, I mean, all this is a very complex issue here. And so when you have what Eric Gates just described on a local level, that where the nuances of the law say that someone who owns a home and really shouldn't have qualified for a loan in the first place but now has it, couldn't refinance, you could have lots of people losing their homes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't comment specifically on that regulation because I'm not aware of it. But going back to the broader issue of limiting the types of loans that are out there, I think that what we see today is the perfect illustration of why we do need to limit the types of lending out there. I mean, Acorn Housing has a great first-time homebuyer program with a 1% default rate. And the reason is because every single person that comes into Acorn Housing for loan counseling for the first-time homebuyer program gets a 30-year fixed-rate loan at 1 percentage point below the market interest rate. I understand that there are people who feel that they might like a prepayment penalty to get even a lower interest rate, and there might be people who want an adjustable so that they can get a bigger house, but that's what's led to this problem.
But this builds, maybe what's going on in Congress now, maybe our congressmen have to come to a place where that mortgage rates have to become, once again, as they were in our father's day or my father's day, fixed. Or they were in the day when we first bought houses 30 years ago. The mortgage rates were fixed. They didn't jump. They didn't change. They didn't start here at 4%, go to 10%, didn't have balloon payments. They were fixed. And maybe that's part of what legislation has to address.
Part of the legislation in the city that's being proposed today, the 365-day grace period, is to iron out a lot of these kinks and let the debate roll. This gives families some cushion to stay in their home while these details are being worked out. Federally, locally, and in the state, and in the banking industry as well, because it is complex, and there are no answers right now.
Let's go to the phones here again. Let people join us once again. Melody Simmons, WEA reporter, Joe Cox from Acorn, Eric Gates, legislative chairman of the Maryland Association of Mortgage Brokers, as we look at foreclosures and mortgages in our country and our state. 410-319-8888. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. John and Timonium, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi, John.
I have several comments, the first of which is many of these home buyers were encouraged to say they had income and were told that it wasn't going to be verified anyway. So that led to some of these people getting in over their heads. Most of the real estate around here was ridiculously priced. I make, you know, my household income is six figures, and I determined that I couldn't afford homes at the prices they were charging, so I didn't buy one. Now, one of the things I saw on the internet the other day that some of your listeners may be able to take advantage of is to require the lender to show the paperwork. Many of these loans have been sold on several times, and they don't even have the original paperwork. So that might buy them some time to get things straightened out. I have no sympathy for the people that lied for their income. I don't think these programs that are being tossed around should help bail out any of those people. Unfortunately, you can't go back to the mortgage brokers and the real estate folks that knew they were selling a home to somebody that couldn't afford it and take back their commissions to help, you know, take that back. And I think the banks really have some responsibility, too. They knew a lot of this real estate was overpriced, and yet they encouraged these people to go get these loans, too, because they figured, hey, the market's going to go up, and even if they default, who cares? We're going to sell it to the next person for even more money. So there's a lot of fault to go around here, and I think it all ought to be shared. But, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for the folks who have lost their jobs because of the crisis that was instigated by the burst of the property bubble, and I think there ought to be some way to found to help those folks. And I agree with one of your presenters who said that, you know, we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Some of these programs, if you really understand the vehicle, can be helpful, but I think sometimes they get with folks who don't adequately explain what's going on, and they encourage them to get into these programs that they don't understand, and that's a real mistake for everybody.
You made some very logical and, I think, interesting and strong points, John, and I think that kind of very
absolutely
feet on the ground kind of thinking here, and I think that one of the things that these bills are wonderful coming out of Congress, and the bills in the state, in the city council, waiting for foreclosure for 365 days are all great, but none of them can go to the heart of the question about how America has to revamp finance and banking if we're not going to have a crisis like this again. I mean, he's right. Part of this was greed on the individual people who said, oh, I want that house. I can buy it with nothing down. Give it to me now, and you're not going to ask me how much I make. Great. I'll take that house. And then thinking you can make more money and you're going to be able to pay it off, and you can't because we all have pie-in-the-sky dreams about reality that's not real. On the other hand, banks, the firewall was down, and the whole bundling and derivatives of what's really fueled this crisis, the bottom fell out. And so this seems, I've seen nothing yet, and I see what you three think about this before we go to the next caller, about what should happen to restructure banking and finance so that it works for the society as a whole. I was with a mortgage broker the other day, a guy who trades all kinds of stuff on the market, and he said you have to build a firewall back into banking. Banking has to go back to its roots and becoming the lender and lending to investment banks, lending to us as individuals, and just not allowing it to control the nation. What are your thoughts about that?
I was at a NAACP forum with a banker. I wish I could remember the bank he was representing a while ago, and he linked a lot of these problems to the fact that, you know, you went from settlement being 10 people at a table all dealing with this loan product, and the buyer having representatives that were required to represent them, lawyers, real estate agents, who were, you know, statutorily required to have that person's best interest at heart there, to the current structure where he said, you know, you got people applying for loans on the trunk of a car at a Walmart. I mean, that is part of it. I really do think, I mean, I understand the concerns about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but if you're not going to require brokers to take some sort of Hippocratic oath to first do no harm, or put extra requirements that brokers have to represent buyers, I really don't see how you can have adjustable rates and balloon payments still legal question, without having a crisis.
To answer Eric Gates earlier, and Eric Gates raised the point here, mm-hmm. What do you do then to the people, what happens to the people who did get loans, maybe shouldn't have gotten loans, because their lending institutions didn't bother to check how much they made or encourage them that we don't really care about how much you make and weren't going to investigate it. People got these houses. Now they will not qualify for refinancing these mortgages under Obama's plan or anyone else's plan. What happens to those people? And who profits on their misery? And what do we say to the banks who can profit on their misery? Well, I mean, what do you say? What happens there?
There's been a great period of flim-flam that's gone on. Everybody knows it. Everybody feels the sting. People are outraged by it. And that's where you have the gray area right now. What do you do about that so we don't have to go through the flim-flam again? But there's profit involved. I'm sure the mortgage brokers are going to be making more money as they restructure these loans. And I'm sure they're very happy about that and almost salivating because it is federal money and it's going to be private money fees from the restructuring. So, you know, you have that. It's very vulnerable.
Eric, on the way to get these several callers, we're really dying to get in here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd love to address some of it. First of all, to answer your initial question, I think a big piece of this, and I think Mr. Cox addressed some of it, is that the SAFE Act that has been passed on the federal level is now requiring several new steps in relation to mortgage lending specifically that will address some of this, and that should have been addressed years ago. The mortgage industry for years has had very little barrier to entry. You could have been flipping burgers one day and working at a mortgage company the next, and that's mortgage brokers, that's mortgage lenders, that's banks, that's everything. And you think about the type of information that you give to someone handling a mortgage for you, and with very little barrier to entry, you can see where the recipe for disaster started coming into play. The Maryland Association of Mortgage Brokers fought for several years to implement state law requiring educational testing and licensing on loan originators. We were finally successful about 3 years ago in getting that passed. And that is a requirement. Anyone new who wants to be a mortgage broker in Maryland must currently take 40 hours of education, pass a written test, be individually licensed through the commissioner's office so they can be tracked. In addition, new Maryland laws of last year, now going into effect, requires all licensed originators' license numbers to be a part of the deed of trust that gets recorded in a courthouse so that as bad loans come up in the future, they'll know who the originator was and we can track those people. That came out of the foreclosure task force at the Attorney General's office.
What are you going to do with them once you find them?
Well, the federal government is going to have specific regulations. Part of the SAFE Act is now also going to require a registry of originators across the nation, not just mortgage brokers, but anyone at a bank as well. It's imposed a requirement on every single state to create a licensing process for mortgage originators. Maryland is currently in the process right now of bringing the state law into compliance with the federal law, which threatens to have the Department of HUD come in and take over your state mortgage governance if you don't have something in place by July 1st. Every state across the country is now going to have educational requirements for originators, licensing for originators, and a registry and tracking system for everybody, including background checks that every single person will have to go through now that they, in many states, have not had to in the past. In Maryland, we have had that in place for the last few years for originators when the new law was passed.
Let me try you on the caller here before we go back here. 410-319-8888. George, you've been holding on. You're on the air. George, you there?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air. We only have a couple minutes.
Okay, real quick. Can someone tell me why the ceiling for the jumbo mortgage was put back to 417 when it was, I think, up to the end of 08, pushed to 728? Why is it now back to 417? I know banks and investors are risk-averse, but there's a subset of homeowners out there who are in time going to be paying quite a premium because rates are, I think, soaring.
But this is actually legislated by Congress.
Right.
They've allowed for higher balance conforming loans above 417 in higher price markets. So the 729 loan amount was not universal. It was only for the highest cost markets around the country. At the turn of the year, that was dropped to 625,500. The new stimulus bill of a couple weeks ago brings that back to 729,750 for the rest of this year in the highest cost markets in the country.
And, I mean, those are some of the issues that I think Congress is maybe in some ways doesn't want to wrestle with that they have to look at. Do we have time for one more caller? A very quick thought from Rufus. You're on the air. Very quick thought.
Yeah. I just have a quick question here.
Very quick.
Okay? And maybe you guys can just give it to me off the air, okay? Where is the accountability for the mortgage brokers and the banking institution? If there were certain guidances that they should have followed and they did not follow them, vis-a-vis allowing people to, break these guidances and rules in terms of qualifications for loans, then isn't that kind of like having laws that you aren't enforcing?
We know. I'll tell you, Rose, we will come back to that issue. And I think that one of the things you can look at right now is if you go to the web and look up Glass-Steagall and the end of the Glass-Steagall Act and how that changed the banking industry, and also look at what happened when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had all the regulation taken out from under them, and they just were lending money out willy-nilly. There's a lot of the roots are entangled, but deep to where this crisis really began. And that's a history lesson I think we'd be glad to share both on our website and on here. And I wish we had more time for all of our callers and getting into more of this. I want to thank Joe Cox, Eric Gates, and Melody Simmons for joining us here today, and all of you for calling in and making the show what it is. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late, Don't Wait program. For more information on personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. Also brought to you by Urbanite, that hits the road this month with the issue of travel stories from regional day trips to journeys back in time. You can pick it up at over 800 locations or go online at www.urbaniteBaltimore.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Jessica Phillips and Justin Levy. Engineers, Zachary Coleman. Interns, Christina Arison, Judith Floyd, and Brian Boone. Music by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, and hear other interviews, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.